Last but certainly not least, item number 15, the Colville Hatchery Youth Program. This is a very special event. Ooh, nice.
I think we made it there.
Well, Mr. Duvia, would you like to introduce this wonderful topic?
Well, I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to start your best part of your program today.
Yes.
And nothing better than to end a hard day's work on a high note. And due to the commission and due to people like Deputy Director Storr, we are here. Without you people, this would never happen. So this is a monster win-win situation, and we're going to walk you through what's going on with a deserted hatchery we found up in Northeast Washington that's now in full production and doing marvelous things for youth. This is a prototype that we can go forward with and probably clone and enable the department to maintain a lot of production of fish at a significant less cost, provide education to students, build an asset in the community, and have a win for every aspect that we work for as a commission and as a department. So we're going to show you today how we put this together and some of the results. And we're very fortunate. John O. Esfault is our manager, teacher, principal, instructor, godfather of the hatchery. And I'll let John O. introduce the staff for you today.
I'm Chelsea Sechrist, and I go to Kettle Falls High School.
I'm Lizzie Phipps, and I go to Kettle Falls High School.
And I'm John O. Esfault, and the new instructor and hatchery manager at the Colville Fish Hatchery. And we're going to tell you a little bit about our program that you guys helped start by giving us the opportunity. That's kind of hard to see. So basically, the program was started about 2 years ago with a meeting with Gary Duvia and many people from Fish and Wildlife and the Kettle Falls School District and New Tech Skill Center out of Spokane. And we formed a huge cooperative, a bigger cooperative than I've ever seen in my entire career, between public and private and government agencies to develop and produce a program for students in Northeast Washington. Basically, the New Tech Skill Center is a skill center out of Spokane. We are a satellite campus in Colville at the Fish Hatchery. We offer the program to any student in Northeast Washington. Basically, we reopened the hatchery. It had been closed for 2 years. And the students and I remodeled the hatchery starting this last summer. I hosted a summer school program. And we had 4 students and 10 at first, but the summer school got, summer going on and the students wanted to move on. So they helped me to start the remodel to prepare it for students this fall. And you're going to see my students actually finish that remodel through the fall. And so they receive more than just fish and wildlife management, but they also got some construction skills out of it. So basically the land payment and the expenses are paid for by the sale of fish. And so we are in full production right now in the hatchery, and we're also working on other fundraisers too. Gary and I and our advisory board have been working on other fundraisers to pay the bills as we speak, and that kind of thing. So we are raising rainbow triploid trout. That is a recommendation from the department, and because that is what they want us to produce, basically, and they're a good hardy fish that's good for the area. That those fish are going to be put into lakes of Northeast Washington, basically, what they're going to target those fish for. The program, basically, on our production, I wanted to kind of just kind of bring you up to date with our full production right now. The first fish we brought in September was about 30,000 triploid trout from Trout Lodge. Those fish are currently at 26,000 fish, and they're 55 fish to the pound currently. They were brought in as eggs in September. We have an 11% mortality rate currently on those fish, which is, according to the former hatchery manager, Jim Ebel, he said between 10 and 20% is about normal where you want to be, and so I think we're fitting into that category. I was really proud of where we're at with those that population of fish. We are actually selling in May 22,000 of those fish, and they're going to be 25 to the pound at that stage. And so those are a larger fish population. And those were basically, we purchased those fish from Trout Lodge to have the kids and I get our feet wet, literally. And so the kids and I, you know, a smaller population, learn how to manage the hatchery and those kind of things. So in January, first week of January, we brought in our triploid rainbow eggs from the Spokane hatchery. We had 150,000 fish brought into the hatchery, or eggs brought into the hatchery. They have hatched. We are feeding those little guys. They're about 1,500 to the pound right now. And they are, we have about 140,000 of those fish. We had about a 12% mortality rate on that fish population. And in May, those fish will be 100 fish to the pound. And we're going to sell 122,000 of those fish. And so that's when we'll actually kind of start bringing in some revenue to get the program kind of going.
Commissioner Smith?
Quick question. Who are you selling to?
Actually, the Department of Fish and Wildlife is the first buyer, and that was within the agreements. And the future down the road, and we're starting to work on the permit, is to sell publicly also. And so this would be...
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I knew you were selling to Fish and Wildlife. We talked about that when Gary was making this work on behalf of everyone. When you're selling the fish at 100 per pound, are they then going to a state hatchery to be raised to a larger size, or are they being released naturally?
They'll be released naturally or put into net pens. Bill Baker, the biologist, the fisheries biologist in Colville, is going to help to decide where those fish go and what lakes he wants to plant those fish into. And so, yeah, they might go to net pens programs. I'm not quite sure on that. Those are still decisions, I think, being made as we speak. So that's a little bit about. Oh, Gwen.
One quick question: Is there a broader market? Have you looked at that, or you had some of the high school classes in marketing business look at where beyond the state as it's growing?
Oh yes, of course. I mean, we've looked at. I've already had contacts from tribal, fish hatcheries about purchasing triploid trout from us. I don't think we'd be out of the spectrum of going any which way we wanted to, as far as whether we wanted to sell even, you know, to Canada or other states or those kind of things. It depends on the need and those kind of things. And also down the road, we could raise special populations of fish for certain projects or for certain individuals. If they wanted brown trout in their lake and it was approved by the Fish and Wildlife, we could, you know, do those kind of things. But that would be down the road for the future.
John, let me add just the economics of this thing, and I'll get into it probably at the end. But the real quick thing is the budget for this particular hatchery was about $114,000 a year and producing about 150 to 200,000 fish. We will provide 150,000 fish for somewhere between 10 and 20,000. So I think there's some economies of scale that it behooves us to do this for your benefit and ours.
Well, and one of the things that really helps is the students pay my salary. I'm a certified teacher in the state of Washington, and the students that come to the program, the Skills Center pays for my salary and pays for my benefits and all those kind of things. And so there's not a person that's on salary at the hatchery other than myself as an instructor. So that saves a lot of money. Basically, the student program that we have right now, like I said, is a satellite campus of the Spokane New Tech Skills Center. We have students, and we have 22 students currently in the program. I started with 25 last semester, and a few students dropped out of the semester. And these students are there for a 2.5-hour block in the morning. We have one morning session, and we started off small. And the students are from Colville High School, Panorama High School, which is the alternative school in Colville, Kettle Falls High School, and homeschool students. And so we have as our population that we are basically have. And so the students are earning 3 credits, 1 science credit and 2 vocational elective credits through the program. And these credits basically go straight into their high school transcript, but they're coming from District 81, Spokane School District. And one thing that's really neat about this program, I've been teaching at Kettle Falls School District for 20 years, and I provided lots of students in Kettle Falls, lots of great education, but this provides education to any student in Northeast Washington. If they can get to me, they can come. And so that's the neat part about the program. For next year, we want to offer a morning and afternoon session so we can open it up to a larger number of students and also maybe possibly students that couldn't get to me in the morning. I currently have 26 students enrolled for next fall. My school district told me that I needed 30 to get to an afternoon session. So we're right there. I mean, I think that's not going to be a problem. I'm actually, every week I continue to go into different high schools and recruiting and that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be a pretty positive, easy thing to do. I'm really working out to reach out to some of the other school districts that we do not have population from, like Chewila School District and Chileum School District. And then also I have some more contact with some homeschool students that I'm trying to get to have to be able to take the program. And one of the parents actually was really excited because as a homeschool parent, they had a difficult time providing a science credit, and we can provide that for them. So it's a pretty neat thing. The other thing that I'm really excited about is starting a partnership with Bellingham Technical College, and they have a fisheries and aquaculture program there. That program would provide, we would have an articulation agreement with that program. I've been in contact with the professor, and we would offer college credit in my program and the first few credits to where they would walk into that program and start the program early and already have transcripted credits. And so that would be a really neat partnership that we're working really strongly on getting. I think that's going to be not a problem. As Brad Smith was telling me earlier. Thank you. So now, Lizzie Phipps is going to talk a little bit about what she learns in my program.
So these are just an overview of some of our learning targets we have for the year. Some of them we're currently working on, and some of them we have accomplished already. So far we have accomplished what we're working on and have accomplished fish production, hatchery safety, leadership skills, and we have accomplished fishing rod construction. And we are going to work on that again. And we're doing marketing, business, and economics of a hatchery and water quality and flow. So these are the math formulas we use on a daily basis. The first one is fish per pound, and that's to figure out approximately how much fish we have. The second one is how much we need to feed our fish, both the little ones and the big ones. And we have this set up in the computer already in a program. So we print out the sheet and then we just divide it by 4.
We changed it again today.
Yeah.
Changing on a daily basis depending on how big the fish are getting.
So we have it all set up on a chart, and then for the week or for the month, we go out over there and then we figure out how much we hand feed and then how much we put in the feeders. And then the third one is how to figure out the flow rate. So it's to figure out how much water flow we have throughout the whole hatchery and in the individual troughs. So this is a run through of our daily schedule. The school starts at 8:20, so once everybody's in there, we sit down and we have a team meeting and we talk about what we're doing for the day, stuff we've observed, and if we have observed anything bad, like things that we can use to resolve any issues we've had. So it's kind of just to come together and figure stuff out. And then once we're done with that, we go in and we hand feed our big fish and our little fish. And then once we're done with that, we learn a new subject, whether it's a hatchery subject or a wildlife subject, whether it's going outside and working with nature. And then after that, we go in and we fill the feeders and clean the big troughs, and then go pick morts and then clean the small troughs. So these are the stages of our first batch of fish we got from Trout Lodge, and we got 30,000 of them. So the picture in the top left is of the eyed eggs, and that was probably taken right after we had gotten them. So in that basket, there was about 2,400 fish. And then the picture on the right is newly hatched, so that may have been a couple days old. And then the picture on the bottom left is of fingerlings, and their egg sacs are almost disappeared by then, so they're about ready to swim up. And the picture on the bottom right is of them swimming up, so that's when 25% of our fish have swam up, so we can start counting down the days till we can feed them. And then the picture in the middle, all of them have swam up. All right, so these pictures kind of got them a little out of order. Sorry about that. So the picture in the bottom right is of our eggs we got from the Spokane hatchery. And that was, I mean, that picture was taken right after we had gotten the eggs in there. We had to put them into baskets and then give them an iodized bath so that we could get any diseases on them off, so we weren't bringing anything into our hatchery. All right. So the picture in the middle is after they first hatched, and we had about 15,000 fish in each trough. So two people are taking care of 15,000 fish. So that's approximately how many are in there. And then the picture on the top right is of a fingerling, and its egg sac is slowly starting to disappear. So as you can tell, it's getting smaller and smaller. And then the picture in the bottom left, there is about 26,000 fish in there, and that is in our big trough room. And then the picture in the bottom right is of what is just a better picture of what the fish currently look like. And it's in a plexiglass viewing box, so you can see it clearly and take pictures of it. All these slides are like combined into one. So that picture is of Esvelt he's scooping the eggs out so we can put them in our troughs and measure about how many we're supposed to have. The second picture is of Chelsea weighing eggs to make sure she has approximately 2,400 fish. So that picture, Kylie is picking out the morts in the small trough room. That one is just everybody working in the hatchery, and that's what it looks like on a daily basis. And then that one, we are all lined up so we can listen to instructions, because that was the first time we had fish, so we didn't know at all what we were doing. All right, so that picture is of cleaning troughs, and we found that a paintbrush is about the only thing we can use that works, because the fish are so delicate you can't touch them and you don't want to handle them very much. So the paintbrush is the one thing that's small enough that's able to clean and it won't hurt the fish. So that picture is of Sam and Luke hand feeding the small fish. So that's when we fill up the feeder. Since we're not there all day, we only have time to feed our fish once. And then that is on about a 12-hour clock. So if you pull it all the way back to the rivets, and we make 9 lines of food, so throughout the day it winds back up and the food drops in to the tank. So that's of weighing the food to make sure we have enough. And that picture is of Chelsea filling up the feeder. So that's a picture of us doing fish per pound with our big fish. And what we do is we scoop them up in a net, dry it off, and then we tear away the bucket of water. And then once we tear weight it, we put the fish in it and go weigh it again, because that tells us approximately how much fish we have in there. And then we use our math formulas to figure it out. So that picture is of when we first got our Spokane hatchery fish, and that's of us giving them an iodized bath. So that picture is of putting the screens in, and we had to change out screens because the screens are in there to separate the fish so we don't overcrowd them. And once they got bigger, started to be more stuff collecting up, so we had to change it into a bigger screen so it could move downstream. So in the small trough room, we have screens in because there's two different sets of tanks. There's a top one, and then there's a bottom one. And we had to put in a rubber gasket because we found out the first go-around that the fish can escape under the screen, and they'll go down into the lower trough. And so once we put that in there, we found out that they can't go down there anymore. And then the picture on the bottom right is of Kylie weighing eggs.
Chelsea's going to talk a little bit about our construction project. Go ahead.
The summer construction class transformed a two-car garage into what is now our classroom. They took out the garage doors, insulated it, and put in windows and a door. These four outside pictures are of sheetrocking the classroom. The middle one is of sheetrocking the boys' bathroom. We were only able to paint when the weather was nice outside because of how unpredictable it was. And these pictures are of people painting the outside of our classroom. The top left picture is of Thomas and Jonas building shelves for all of our tools so that we can stay organized. The top right is of everyone digging a trench to put in a natural gas line and phone line. The bottom left is of people cutting boards to put in for our shelves. And this one is of Brandon and his dad putting up trim around the windows in our classroom. The middle one is of everyone putting up our whiteboard in the classroom. This picture is of what is now the girls' bathroom. And this is what our classroom looks like now. And this is our certificate we got for completing all of the construction.
I added this one for the students to talk a little bit about why they want to, why they're in the program. So we don't have that on your slideshow.
Okay. Chelsea.
I joined this program because I want to do marine biology, and this was the only program in Kettle Falls that was offered to help with that.
So my family is around, like, from around Kettle and Caldwell area, so I remember going to the fish hatchery when I was little. Because I used to live right down the street, so it was just a walk down there, and you were able to go in there and see it. And I've always been interested in a career working with animals, and so this was like the perfect opportunity to be in a hands-on program, and I think it's really opened up doors.
As you can see, this has been a complete do-over almost of the hatchery, and we have tried to involve youth in every step of the way. From the day we started to the day we pounded the nails, we put the paint in, we cleaned up the bathroom, we changed to two bathrooms. They helped us get the construction permit. They helped get occupancy approval. So they've been in a working process. So not only are they learning, several of the students have finally realized what that math class was for. And their kids now, particularly from some of the alternative schools, are participating in this with a new love for education. So it's a win for the school districts, because when we bring in alternative kids and homeschool kids, it also enhances the revenue back to the school districts. So they're eager for us to be successful, and we share in some of the revenues. The New Tech Training Center shares some of the revenue they get from the state, and they share that with the school district. So it's a win for everybody, and the kids are getting opportunities that they can't get in their classrooms in the current districts that we serve up there. John is expanding it to as many community colleges as we can find time to get involved with. We have the Job Corps coming in to do a job cleanup on our outside. We have 19 acres of trees there, and we're going to have a massive project of that. We had one of the students' fathers volunteer to take down three trees because they were hazards to our water line when the ground was really frozen, so we got those on the ground and taking care of those. We are in the process of forming a grant to build a nature trail through our acres, and we will have a forestry program probably by this fall or next spring. And we will have field trips from almost every elementary school within 100 miles to come and visit the hatchery for not only the fish but for the Forest Service program. There's a number of projects that are still yet to be touched. And as John mentioned, we have his costs covered by the school. We have an apartment building, or a house, little house there that was there, which our, when the state had it, the hatchery manager lived in. We found an individual who lives in the house. He pays all the utilities. He's our 24/7 security guard. He feeds the fish on the weekends. He does the cutting of the yard, does all the maintenance, and doesn't cost us anything. So we went out into the community, and we raised about $54,000 in kind. For example, one of the blessings that the director gave us was a four-minute-a-gallon leak in our water line to the hatchery. And the first bill we got from the city of Colville was just under $1,000. And that just about bankrupted us right before we got started. So anyway, we recruited a construction guy in town because it was about 300-400-foot problem underneath an asphalt road. But he brought in some really good equipment, and we fished 400 feet of new pipe underground so we didn't have to trench it. He went over top of underneath a creek so we didn't have to disturb it, and drilled it into the old connections where it should be. The city came up, put in two new valves and two new metering systems at no cost to the hatchery. So we've gotten plumbers, electricians, you name it. We've got everybody involved with it. And I think it's on one of the pages I have listed some of the in-kind directions. And also, we've raised about $20,000 in cash from various individuals and clubs. And part of the program that we're trying to do with kids like we have here with us today, they also have leadership skills, responsibilities, and speaking skills we're trying to develop. So they are visiting numerous clubs, organizations. We were with them this Tuesday, and they presented it to Stevens County Commissioners. So they're on out there in the community trying to learn and be exposed to what the real world's more like. So it's a real good program that's, we don't know where the bottom line is going to be. We're shooting for about 40 to 45 kids in next year's curriculum, just in the fish side, and we'll see how many we can add on the forestry side sometime next year. There's some other programs that they learn along the way, and I'll let John will kind of explain those. We brought two fish rods that the kids have made, and they build those in the classroom as a skill to learn more about what's going on, and we use those for part of our fundraising. So I'm going to pass the hat before I leave here, and you guys can pick out what rod you want.
We can take orders.
Yeah, we can take orders, yeah. So anything that's doing with the outdoors, we're trying to get them to be exposed to it. We've had up to 30 deer on this property that we don't know what we're going to do with, but we have numerous ponds and two streams, and we have every species of tree in eastern Washington on this property. So there's lots of potential, lots of things that we're going to keep moving us toward to get just fun or outdoor things. And we will have a lineup of kids that want to get into this program. It's a real, I think everybody that was a junior or a sophomore that was in it this year signed up for next year. And before we just announced it, and then as John said, we had 26 people on the list before we asked them to sign up. So it's been real successful. So, John, do you got any other comments before we ask for questions?
I think we're ready for questions if the board has any questions for us.
Commissioner Smith.
Gary, thank you for your leadership on this over the last few years. And Jano, thank you for your mentoring all of this. This is, I'm sure, a labor of love, but you're doing an outstanding job. And to the two young ladies, I think we look forward to seeing what you're going to be doing in the next few years. So we will anxiously, through Uncle Gary maybe, keep an eye on you. But this has a potential for a lot of, I think, other fundable ideas, and I would be happy to share some of those with you. But one off the top of my head that this would be a prime candidate for, the EPA Regional Environmental Education Grants, and I'm not sure if you know about those, but they're done through the regions as well as nationally, but through Region 10 here, this is exactly the type of program that they're looking at. So if you just go to Region 10 EPA Environmental Education Grants, or if you need the person that directs that, I can give you that name. We can communicate. And also the Bullitt Foundation in Seattle. This is exactly the type of private-public partnership education. And if you needed a contact there, too, with Dennis Hayes, you know. So there's lots of these things that are just bubbling through my mind that this just hits a lot of bells. It rings a lot of bells, and I think it's just connecting some of those. So we can continue the conversation later, but congratulations to all. And your leadership skills, young ladies, you're very good, very polished presenters.
Just to tie that comment together, this is a prototype model that Joe and Phil and I had several discussions on years ago about how to do this. And really, what it involves is if you bring in the school community, you bring in the local community, you bring in a nonprofit structure. We have 15 volunteers that feed fish on weekends. It doesn't cost us anything. We have people turned down because we don't have time for them to work for us. So it's a really easy concept to put together. And if you want to enhance a park or another hatchery, this is a model that, if you get into budget shortfalls on our hatchery programs, this is a way to maintain production without having all the costs borne by the state, and it solves community needs. And I think this is one that, like we worked on the Puyallup hatchery problems, this would have resolved all those issues that stopped that from being converted to a commercial plant. So,
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a fantastic situation, and the godfather, Commissioner Duvier over there, I mean, he took this bull by the horn and educated us and brought us all along, and I just can't say enough about how wonderful I think it is. And, Gary, you deserve an awful lot of credit. A gentleman that... many of us know he spoke in front of us here, not here, but in Olympia, associate professor at the University of Washington, Christopher Grew, because of some comments from other people now. They have a recreational fishing class at the University of Washington now. I think, if I remember correctly, it's 150, 160 students. They're going to have some seminars presented by a group, by a whole bunch of individuals, and they're going to be, I think we're going to have a mock commission meeting there sometime in the spring. And the reason I bring that up, because what you guys are doing is all geared towards recreational fishing. And recreational fishing is a major, major cash contributor to the state, to the budget, to the citizens, to the taxpayers, to the recreational businesses across the state. And I think it's wonderful, and I thank you for your efforts.
I think we need to hear from Dr. Mencken, who may know a little bit about hatcheries.
Yeah, my back. I'm sorry. my background is in hatchery science, and you couldn't have picked a better area to be involved in this sort of an undertaking. I mean, this area produces, in terms of pounds of fish from hatcheries, the largest number of fish of any entity within the North Pacific. The North Pacific Ocean now has or accepts from hatcheries over 5 billion hatchery fish annually. But the technology for the development of those hatchery systems has really focused in two areas, in Japan and in the United States, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. There are a number of hatchery programs and hatchery research facilities that you really ought to visit. There's one located at the Manchester facility where I was that has been a leader in the development of captive brood stocking using Pacific salmon for recovery of Pacific salmon programs when populations of fish like the Redfish Lake sockeye has been reduced to like four animals in 1991. And through the use of captive rootstock programs, those numbers now are up into the thousands. That fish undoubtedly, that subspecies of fish undoubtedly would have been extinct had it not been for the captive rootstock programs that were developed in the Pacific Northwest. The pit tag was developed for and on behalf of looking at the movement of hatchery fish in the Columbia River. Coated wire tagging was developed in the Pacific Northwest for hatchery fish, and mass marking, allowing selective fishing for Pacific salmon, was developed in the Pacific Northwest. And it goes on and on and on. University programs in the Pacific Northwest have been designed specifically for enhancing populations of depleted fish, and also hatchery programs now produce over 80% of the fish caught in fisheries in Puget Sound and the same number, 80% or thereabouts, in the Columbia River. So you couldn't be located in a better spot for employing people that graduate from your program and then go on to university programs or go into trade programs in hatcheries. So I commend Father Duvia for his efforts, and I'd be more than happy to work with you on programs if you're interested. I'm sorry, I will be available.
Deputy Director Storr.
Turn this on. There we go. I wanted to say thanks to Gary and Jono and the county commissioners for the vision and for the partnering during a time when it was sometimes hard to find reasons to partner up in Stevens County. This is a very positive relationship, a good thing. And I also wanted to point out John Whalen's in the audience. John's our regional fish biologist and was very instrumental, I think, in the getting things organized and following through, and Steve Pizangra for a lot of the discussions and negotiations with the county. So it's a good team. We need to keep working together. I think, you know, there may be some challenges ahead, so we need to stick together and make this work.
Wow. Anything else? What a uplifting way to complete today's agenda. You guys did a magnificent job. Just kudos for you two here. It takes some courage to come before a bunch of old fogies like us. You did a superb job. And John, a wonderful. And Gary, of course, you know, absolutely top-notch effort. So we hope to keep seeing and hearing more. And you've got some real supporters on the commission, so if you do, I really recommend you take advantage of some of the offers that you've heard here. Okay, well, thank you very much. And we are ready to go into recess. We come back tomorrow morning at 8:30. We will have, I believe, our youth leader from Cheney with us. So we're going to continue this wonderful spirit of the youth. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.